Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
If you haven't caught it, you will catch it by the end of the day. We're going on the themes. We're going on pandemic themes. And the title of the first message was Drop the Mask. How important is it for brothers to drop the mask and get real with each other? And the next session is talking about proper social distance. I would call it biblical social distance. And we're not pushing back against any, you know, regulations or restrictions. We're using these as themes that are really core to what it means for us as bands of brothers to walk with Jesus together, depend on Him, depend on one another. Amen? Amen. So, man, I've got to know Chet Lowe over the last 6 years. I guess that's how long he's been here, right? 6 years you've been at Coast Hills. He came to take over the leadership of a church down. Is it Aliso Viejo? Aliso Viejo down in South County, and doing a great job down there. And I asked him if he would come today and talk about proper social distance. So would you guys welcome Chet Lowe, great, great friend of mine.
Well, good morning. Great to see you guys. Why don't we stand and invite the Lord into our heart as we prepare to hear His word. Father, we do come before You, and as men we stand. And Lord, if so inclined, the Bible says that we are to lift holy hands as men in prayer, an act of surrender. And so, Lord, as men in obedience to Scripture, we stand in awe of You, lifting up our hands in surrender to You, asking that You would speak to us this morning in a way that glorifies You in our life. Advance Your kingdom, I pray, in Jesus' name. All of God's men said, amen, amen. You are welcome to have your seat. I was very grateful that Aaron gave me his 7 minutes. I promised to take them. I was also very aware in Bill Welsh's text to us that we should stay away from politics. He sent that for me. He knows that I won't. I promise to be absolutely politically incorrect. Amen. I don't know if you know the Bible really doesn't care about politics. It cares about advancing the kingdom of God. I would also like to say that I did not get the topic I wanted. I thought I would do the Christian thing and be polite and let everyone in the text message pick their topic. It was left to two: erase the battle lines. And you know, let me read these topics. You got to hear these. I actually wrote them down, okay? Drop the mask. That is so me. I am so get over yourself and get to God. Refuse to lock down. Anything that is a little rebellious, I love. Close the social distance. Nah. Look for the lost. Are you kidding me? I've been a missionary for years. That's a good one. Erase the battle lines. I got white kids. I got black kids. I got Hispanic kids. That is one for me. So it was down to me and Bill Buffington. And I thought, well, Bill knows me. He loves me. He's a brother. It's erase the battle lines. And the one I don't want, close the social distance. Guess the one that Bill picked. Erase the battle lines. Close the gap of social distance. And I thought to myself, who cares about that? In fact, you guys are going to be here. And so how do you tell people to get over social distancing when they've gotten over it and they're here at a conference sitting within 2 feet of each other? I mean, it's like, you're here. Why would I lambaste you for being here? It's the people that aren't here that needs this particular topic. I'll never forget. When I was a kid, I went to a prayer meeting, and the pastor started like berating everyone that was there that he couldn't believe the people that weren't there. And I thought to myself, I think I was like 14 years old, why would you be berating us for the people that need to hear this that aren't here? We're here. Why can't we just pray? So I've decided that I'm no longer going to be polite, and I'm going to be the first pick when it comes to me and Bill Buffington. And I'm going to take the topic I want. I've learned from this guy to just take the choice that's before you. Watch this video. All right, we're going to try one more time. If not, I'll tell it. Nope, we won't get it. All right, so here's what happens. This guy's entering quarantine, okay? Maybe you've seen this video before. This guy's entering quarantine, and the guy asks him, and he says, okay, you've got two choices. Letter A is, you get to quarantine with your wife and your children. Letter B, he goes, B. So I've decided, next time Bill Wells texts me, B, I am taking what I want. Hey, last 18 months have been quite an experience for the world, right? I'll never forget when Andre and I were in Liberia, we were quarantined with yellow fever. And when I met with our church leaders, I began to describe to them what I believed what was going to happen because we've been quarantined so many times. And it's amazing how similar, though we were in Africa, we're in America, there's a difference of continents, but it's amazing how similar the two quarantines were. I'll never forget, we were walking through a small country road in Liberia, and we heard every time we got to a house, there was fighting and there was arguing. And I told the leaders of our church, just give it time. Our world is going to erupt in anger. And we have seen the very impact of a pandemic around our world. But I wanted to let you know something. The thing that affected us from the very beginning was in March when God canceled Easter. Do you remember that? Where no church could meet. Now you might go, wait a second, God did not cancel Easter, COVID canceled Easter. Well, let me give you a phrase that God spoke to me in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem and besieged it. That's what everyone physically saw, like everyone physically saw COVID. But verse 2 says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim over to Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, God was in control, even though it looked like Nebuchadnezzar was in control. God was up to something that we needed to figure out. And so I began a search in my own heart. Lord, what are you up to? I mean, if you've canceled Easter, do you not like the way that we do Easter? Have we become so modernized and decided that this is what you like in worship that maybe it's not what you like at all, so you just shut all the churches down and said, listen, we're doing Easter my way this year. I mean, what were you up to, God? I wanted to know. I personally was not concerned about getting COVID. Now, that doesn't mean I wasn't concerned about COVID in and of itself. I just personally was not concerned about getting COVID. I was concerned about others who got COVID. But for me, I've lived and traveled all around the world. I've had malaria. I've had giardia. I've had diarrhea. I mean, you name an ia, I've had it. And I was convinced that if I got COVID, COVID would enter my body and say, I want out. Do you know what's in here? I mean, so I was pretty sure that I was vaccinated, even though I wasn't vaccinated. You got to believe it. And I definitely wasn't concerned about death. I just see death so differently. Death to me is a butler. It ushers you straight to Jesus. And so for me, I just wasn't concerned. Now, I was concerned for those who were not well and for those who got sick. And I was with family members and I was with those who actually were not well. But I wanted to use COVID to learn what God was doing. And so our church, we broke our church into groups of 25, and we started discipling these groups of 25 so that they would start discipling other groups, and we watched revival begin to happen in our church. And so I wanted to see, God, what are you up to? I wanted to learn through COVID, but I also wanted to learn from COVID. And if there's one thing that I've learned is this phrase. Listen carefully, we're going to talk about it. Congregate, don't isolate. Say that after me. Congregate, don't isolate. You sound like you're speaking in tongues. Let me interpret. Congregate, don't isolate. Okay, let's say it together. Congregate, don't isolate. It's amazing during COVID how people got wacky when they were isolated. Listen to what Charles Schulz, creator of Peanuts, said through the character Linus. The most terrifying loneliness is not experienced by everyone and can be understood by only a few. I think this pandemic has changed that. I compare the panic in this kind of loneliness to the dog we see running frantically down the road pursuing the family car. He's not really being left behind, for the family knows it's going to return. But for that moment, in his limited understanding, he's being left alone forever, and he has to run and run and run, do something foolish to survive. It's no wonder that we make terrible choices in our life when we're alone. Loneliness. My son can't get out of bed. He's a 16-year-old, and he says that's what they do. And I keep telling him, son, you are not going to accomplish anything if you stay in bed. Then quarantine hit. He came out one day about 1 o'clock, and he said something profound to me. He said, Dad, you said I would never accomplish anything if I stayed in bed. I have learned in quarantine, if I stay in bed, I am saving the world. Dad, I am accomplishing something. People get wacky during loneliness. People got wacky during the quarantine. I was walking my dog. I walked him every day, 120-pound Burmese Mountain Dog. And him and I, through quarantine, we went for a walk. One day, we're on a walk, and I see this lady talking to her cat. And I looked at her, and I was like, I can't believe it. And I looked at my dog, and I said, can you believe that woman is talking to her cat? And I realized something has gone wrong with me. Can I tell you, this is why Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 said this, wherever two or more of you are gathered, there I am. There is something about together that Jesus thinks is important. Trust me. I love what my brother said earlier, that his mother was the way of God and his father was the will of God. I'm going to go home and use this with my children. So when you didn't go the way of God, you got the will of God. I love it. I love it. We are better together because we represent Jesus better together. I don't have the gift of mercy. Thank God my wife does. I've got the gift of leadership. Go my way. I got the gift of administration. I got the gift of exhortation. I wake up in the morning, wonder who I can challenge. My wife, she cleans it up. She's got the gift of mercy. We are better together because when we're together, we look a lot more like Jesus. That's why the Spirit longs for fellowship. Amen. And can I just congratulate you? That's why you're here. It's the Spirit that drew you. So I don't want to lambaste you for being here. You're here. What I want to do right now is express why we're here. Why are we better together? Maybe you want to take some notes and you want to write down number one. It comes from Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. You know the scripture. I'm just going to quote it for you. God said it. It is, listen carefully, not good for man to be alone. There's number one. It is not good for man to be alone. Turn your Bible to Ecclesiastes. Turn your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Now, I don't want you to think I'm weird when I read this because you all have heard this at a wedding, but it really has nothing to do with a wedding. It has to do with a relationship between friends. The context is male friendship, according to Solomon. Why is this guy in the world? I need you to hear what he wrote. Now remember, it's not good for a man to be alone. It's not good for a man to be alone. Listen to this. Loneliness, anxiety, and depression share a basement apartment in a sketchy neighborhood. You hear that? Listen again. Loneliness, anxiety, and depression share a basement apartment in a sketchy neighborhood. They all three kind of just go together. And we've got to be careful when we're alone because it's not good for a man to be alone. You see, take a look with me if you would, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I'm going to start reading in verse 9. Two are better than one. Now, I know you think it's talking about a husband and wife, but it's talking about two guy friends. Listen carefully. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one. Let that penetrate you right now, especially if you tend to isolate, especially if you're one of those guys that don't walk up to somebody at church because you're too cool to say hello to anybody. And then when you raise your hands, it's kind of like this. And you're not one of these guys. You're one of like the Calvary Chapel. You know, we kind of put our hands out like this. We fold up, do our hands like this or like this. Or maybe you're like the victory guy. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't know who you are, but if you're one of those guys that you just come in and you sit down and you don't go and you don't connect with someone, listen to what God says. Two are better than one. Now, here's the reasons why. Here's the good reward. Look at verse 10. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls. Companionship, guys. God says we need a guy companion. We need someone to walk through with life together. And I've always found in my life, it's good to have a Paul, it's good to have a Barnabas, and it's good to have a Timothy. It's good to have a Paul. My Paul is crazy. His name is Feridun. He's an Iranian. He translates the Bible. He's currently working on 12 different projects. And I always call him when I've got a Bible question. He's been in my life for almost 20 years. One time I was teaching and he was translating in Farsi and we were sending it over to Iran. I've had the privilege to go to Tehran twice and minister to house churches there. And we're sending videos over to them and he is translating for me as I'm teaching, and I said something, he stops in the middle of video and he goes, "You're wrong." I'm like, I call him Dune, I don't call him Fairy Dune. Fairy is way too fairy for me, so I say, "Dune." I go, "Dune, you're embarrassing me, like we're live, I'm not wrong." He goes, "I'm not saying it in Farsi, I'm saying it in English, but you're wrong, I'm not translating that." He goes, "That is not what the Hebrew means." You don't argue with a guy that's translated the Bible 12 times. Right? You don't argue with a guy. And I start arguing with him. And he goes, "You're wrong." So then he takes me to my little Logos program, pulls up the Hebrew, proves it to me, and he goes, "Shall we continue?" It's good to have a Paul in your life. It's good to have a Barnabas in your life. And my Barnabas is sitting right there in a red shirt. He used to be my Timothy, but now he's my Barnabas. We do life together. He calls me out when need be. He's my executive pastor. He's been ministering with me for almost 11 years. He is my Barnabas. He's someone that is with me through life. I'm with him in life. We're able to speak into each other's life. And you might see in an org chart that he's below me. Trust me, we're a team. And I'm convinced actually he's the leader and I do what he tells me to do. It always works out better. And I got a Timothy. His name is Jimmy. He's a 21-year-old Marine, and I'm pouring into his life. And what I'm finding with each one of these relationships is I've got a companion that when I fall, they're there to pick me up, and it goes the other way. You see, the Bible says that if we confess our sin to God, he forgives us. That's one of the qualities of confession. But the Bible also goes on to say in James chapter 5, verse 16, that if we confess our sin to each other, we'll be healed. Do you realize when you keep your fall to yourself, you're preventing your own healing? You're preventing your ability to fully walk away from that sin and be healed in Jesus Christ. Yes, God forgives you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. But James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your sin one to another and you will be healed. God has your healing with a companion. Next, take a look at verse 10. Now, this is not sexual. This is practical. Take a look at verse 10. Verse 11. Again, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? You guys go back to the time that Solomon was writing this. If you're a shepherd out on a field and you are there all night long, the last thing you want to do is sleep on the other side of the field and let your buddy sleep on the other side of the field. There's protection and there's warmth if you choose to be together around the fire. This was practical. This was not physical, sexual at all. And we can't read 21st century into the Bible. Gang, listen to this. This is not an American book. If anything, it's Hebrew. So to understand it, we've got to understand its context. I'll never forget, I was in Israel, and I looked at our tour guide, and she was from England, and I said to her, "Why is Hebrew backwards?" Now, this was 25 years ago. why is Hebrew backwards? And she put up her shoulders like this, and she looked at me with a British accent, and she goes, have you ever wondered that Hebrew is the language of God and that English is backwards? Cultural faux pas number one. If that was how I was going to be a missionary, I failed. But see, what the Bible is talking about is connection. By the way, how long do I have? I'm supposed to be done at what time? Now? Am I done now? When am I done? 10:30? I got 7 minutes of Aaron's time. Never forget I was in Liberia. I'll stop at 10:30. Never forget. I can go 10:35? Okay. 10:37. I'll never forget I was in Liberia and I took this young kid. He's about 210, 6'2", big guy, bench 350,000 pounds. I mean, this guy was big. We went into bush Africa. Like, we had to walk, take a canoe, see a snake, like the whole deal. We're walking into bush Africa, okay? It's night. They give him his own little hut with his own little dirt floor. This 220 thug comes up to me and says, hey, would you mind if I sleep with you? Really? So I say out loud in front of the whole team, hey, Ian, you want to be in my room? Dude, that's not cool. This 220 guy, he ends up sleeping in my room there in my little little bamboo bed. And all night long, you know what we did? I got into his heart. I connected. And I began to talk to him and speak into his life things that he needed to hear. See, there's connection when there's warmth in relationship. Next word, take a look if you would. Verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I want to read you this. It's from Proverbs, okay? Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 18, you can write it down. Proverbs chapter 18, I'm going to read it real quick. Verse 1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. That word is lust. A man who wants to get alone is doing something not great. That's what the Bible says. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all sound judgment. Can I tell you about the little baby gazelle that leaves the herd? That's the one the lion pounces on. That's why Peter says, beware of the enemy. He's like a roaring lion seeking. He's looking for the gazelle that's gone off on their own. Can I remind you, David? I'm not going to go to war. You know why he didn't want to go to war? He'd already seen Bathsheba. He knew what he was up to. He chose to isolate. What about Elijah? He goes up on that mountain by himself and he tells all the prophets, I'm here and my God's here. Jezebel says one thing to him. He goes running off by himself. I'm the only one, God. What does God do? Give him Elisha. It's not good to be alone. You're losing perspective, Elijah. What about Jeremiah, man? Mighty prophet of God, lowered in the cistern, in the muck and the mire. He says in Jeremiah chapter 20, I don't want to do this anymore. He needed someone to go to. And God speaks to him and ministers to him. He says, yet this is burning within me. Alone is not good. Say it with me. Congregate, don't isolate. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want you to see something. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to pick it up in verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, number 2, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body, verse 21, and the eye, underline this, cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Take a look at your friend and say, I need you. Say it again, say it with passion. I need you. Now, those of you in the back that didn't say it, we're going to watch you. Say it. I need you. That's right. I called you out. I need you. Let me tell you why. Paul is by himself and discouraged, and he tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, but God and his grace sent Titus to me to refresh me because he knew I was discouraged. In Romans chapter 15, verse 32, he writes the Romans and he says, I can't wait to be together with you so that I can be refreshed. We need each other to refresh each other, but we also need each other to redirect each other. Amen.
We need each other to redirect each other. In Colossians, the Bible says, speak to one another in hymns and songs and spiritual songs. Colossians chapter 3. You see, when I am teaching, you are learning. And when you are living, I am learning. So I come in and I see, and I don't know your name, and I wish I did. But you walked right up to me and you shook my hand. Welcome. I am so glad you're here. And you know what I did? I learned. When someone comes into my church and the way that I felt welcomed, and because I was here together with you, I walk away where on Sunday I'm going to walk up to somebody, hey, so glad you're here. I learned. It's not just you sitting there in the pulpit. It's me watching you worship. I was a lifeguard. I never had another job outside of, well, that's not true. I was a teacher at a detention center for years. But growing up, I was only a lifeguard. I watched people for years. That's what I did. Watching you worship, it's just what I do. And I just get so inspired as I see people giving glory to God. We're all learning and redirecting each other when we choose to be together. I can't wait to go home and tell my kids, your mother's the way of God and I'm the will of God. I learned. My kids won't be so happy. Number three, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to pick it up in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking, not neglecting the assembling of ourselves together, as in the habit or the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you guys feel the birth pains? Do you feel the cramps? We are living in last days. Number three, hold the line. Hold the line. Hold the line. Zach and I just went to Idaho, and it was kind of funny. It was a friend of a student of mine. And he had gone through Patmos, and Patmos is kind of our school discipleship. The motto of it is, you came here to change. Don't be surprised when we ask you to. So I called the dad and I said, hey, I'm coming. Well, outside of the fact that I'm from Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, and my senior pastor had a moral failure that I unfortunately caught him in and then unfortunately told the world. So I'm that guy, right? So I call him and I say, hey, I'm coming to your church. He tells me when we get there, he got off the phone, he looked at his wife and he goes, Chet's coming to the church, what did I do? I'm like, man, where do I get this reputation from? Well, when I get there, he calls Zach and I up and he prays over us. But before he prayed for us, Californians, listen, he said this. He goes, as California goes, so does the nation. He said, hold the line for us. Hold the line for us. Gang, let me tell you something. I'm going to read it to you again. Let us, all the more as you see the day approaching, exhort one another. Exhort one another with what? Holding fast to our confession. And he says, do it together. Don't neglect gathering together. But when you get together, spur each other on with love and good works. Now, let me tell you something. A spur don't feel good for a horse, but it sure does get the horse moving. And we're all so afraid to be politically correct and not hurt anyone's feelings, and we're willing to be in relationship with someone and let them go to hell. Well, I don't want them upset with me. And you don't talk about religion and family. So you prefer option B? You'd rather let your brother be in sin so that you're in relationship? You don't want them to feel bad that you confront them? No, he says, all the more. Convince people, convict people, hold the line at all costs. Because we're at war. And we have a job to do to hold the line. I'm a minute. Actually, if I said 10:37, can I have a minute to close? I'm done.
Finally, here's the last thing. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, and this is where I close it up. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Congregate, don't isolate, because it's not good to be alone. Number two, something's wrong with the body without you. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Number three, hold the line. Number four, let me tell you why we congregate. It glorifies God, period. Take a look, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Do you guys know we're living the last days? You know what the Bible says? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. We are in the last days where men will be lovers of themselves. They'll love to be by themselves. But the Bible says later in verse 7, they'll have a form of godliness but deny its power. They'll come in and raise their hands in church, but they got their phone alone at home looking at things they shouldn't be. We're in the last days. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. In other words, the Bible knows what it is to be around people. You're going to need a lot of love. But take a look. Be hospitable. This is direction. This is not a gift. It's a choice. We are purposed to invite people into our lives. This is not the gift of hospitality. This is the direction of hospitality. You are to invite people into your life because it's not good for a man to be alone. Be hospitable. And to one another without, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability with which God supplies, that in all things, look at this, God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. Being together, spurring each other on, is an act of faith. Being hospitable, inviting people into your life, is an act of faith that God looks on and goes, that's my boys. There's a centurion. This is where I close up. I mean it this time. Centurion came to Jesus with an act of faith. You remember? He says, I'm not worthy for you to come in my house. Just say the word. I'm a guy under authority. I know who you are. Jesus said, I haven't seen such great faith in Israel. And you know what Matthew wrote? And he must have seen something on Jesus' face. He wrote there in Matthew chapter 8, and Jesus marveled. What did his face look like? I mean, but let me tell you something. I want to live my life every day where Jesus looks at his son and says, wow, he's getting together with Zach. He's got a companion. He's got someone that's holding him accountable. He's got someone that's in his life, in his face. He's got someone that is true to my word. Social distance does not glorify God. Having a companion in life who you're doing life with, a male that can challenge you like your wife can't, is important to God. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, forgive me. And I don't even know if it's sin because I knew what I was doing, but so it was a trespass. Lord, forgive me. In Jesus' name, amen.
We all forgive him, right? Blessing, blessing, blessing. Chet, thanks for being here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Congregate, don't what? Isolate. Huge. And think about it this way for a second. As I was just thinking as Chet was speaking, if I'm being called to congregate, I need to be someone who's calling other people to congregate, just not as a pastor, but as someone who is a man of God. I need to be an encouraging voice to get other people to congregate, to be a part of a group, to come join me. I need a Paul, I need a Barnabas, right? I need a Timothy. I need those people. And every man needs that, right? That we're being poured into and we're pouring out. So think about that. Who in your life are those people? And if you're missing them, then begin to seek the Lord. Lord, I need to be someone who congregates and doesn't isolate. Amen?
Set free my heart. Set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.